This morning we'll study Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Sri, chapter 5, verse number, text number 14, Vidura's talks with Maitreya. Tan shochya shochyan avidonu shoche. Tathayam vimukhana dhena Shinoti deva nimishastu yesham Ayurvathavada gatir smitinam. Shochya, pitiable, Shochian. Of the pitiable. Avida. Ignorant. Anushoche. I pity. Hare. Of the Lord. Katayam. To the topics of. Vimukhan. Averse. Aghena. Because of sinful activities. Shinoti. Decaying. Deva. The Lord. Animishaha. Eternal time. Tu. But. Yesham. Of whom. Ayuhu. Duration of life. Vritha. Uselessly. Vada. Philosophical speculations. Gati. Ultimate goal. Smriti Nam. Of those following different rituals. Translation O sage, persons who because of their sinful activities are averse to the topics of transcendence and thus ignorant of the purpose of the Mahabharata, that is Bhagavad Gita, are pitied by the pitiable. I also pity them because I see how their duration of life is spoiled by eternal time while they involve themselves in presentations of philosophical speculation, theoretical ultimate goals of life, and different modes of ritual. Purport. According to the modes of material nature, there are three kinds of relationships between human beings and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are in the mode of ignorance and passion are averse to the existence of God, or else they formally accept the existence of God in the capacity of an order supplier. Above them are those who are in the mode of goodness. The second class of men believe the Supreme Brahman to be impersonal. They accept the cult of bhakti, in which hearing of Krishna katha is the first item as a means and not the end. Above them are those who are pure devotees. They're situated in the transcendental stage above the mode of material goodness. Such persons are decidedly convinced that the name, form, fame, qualities, etc. of the personality of Godhead are non-different from one another on the absolute plane. For them, hearing of the topics of Krishna is equal to meeting with him face to face. According to this class of men who are situated in pure devotional service to the Lord, the highest goal of human life is purushartha, devotional service to the Lord, the real mission of life. The impersonalists, because they engage in mental speculation and have no faith in the personality of Godhead, have no business hearing the topics of Krishna. Such persons are pitiable for the first class pure devotees of the Lord. The pitiable impersonalists pity those who are influenced by the modes of ignorance and passion. But the pure devotees of the Lord take pity on them because they both waste their most valuable time in human form of life in false pursuits, sense enjoyment, and mental speculative presentations of different theories and goals of life. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchim Priyadesha Dharana Vancha Kripati Vidascha Kripa Sindhi Bheva Jaya Tathita Nam Pavane Bheva Vashya Dabhya Nam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gauri Bhakta Ganga Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Vidura's talks with Maitreya. So we are continuing where Vidura is asking, or basically he's asking Maitreya some questions, he is expressing that how people are not interested in hearing Krishna katha, which is unfortunate, he's saying. And here he's expressing that he feels pity over those who are not interested in hearing Krishna consciousness. So this morning's topic is going to be about pitting. Prabhupada talks about different kinds of people, the foolish workers and the impersonalists and the devotees. And in his purport, he's basically saying that the impersonalists, they pity on the foolish workers, and the devotees, they pity on both the foolish workers and the impersonalists. So we're going to talk about pity. Who should we pity? Should we be pitied? So in order to talk about, well, we know we can think about, all of us can think about some example. The example I thought about, the first example Srila Prabhupada saying in the purport, that the impersonalist pity the foolish workers. So I was thinking how the impersonalist, when they, Prabhupada talks about how when they fall down or when they can't continue, what they do is they open hospitals, they do feeling pity over the foolish workers, they try to help them. And certainly there's nothing wrong, that is good, that they're doing something good. But that's the extent of their pity towards the foolish workers, is to help them out in their bodily necessities. Now, devotees, when they pity the foolish workers, what happens in the foolish workers' lives? And that's an example that I thought you can think about. But in my mind, I thought about Jagai and Madhai, how they were really way down. And so we know what happened with Lord Nityananda, who actually helped them to bring to the highest platform. So when devotees, they pity the very low, the foolish workers and sense gratifiers, they help them to bring up the highest. So that's one example I thought, and there are many other examples. Today I was going to more focus on a example of a devotee helping an impersonalist to come to a higher platform. And again, there are a lot of examples of that. The example that I chose this morning was that came to me when I was preparing for the class, was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now, it's interesting with the example of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, if you remember the pastime. Initially, when Lord Chaitanya came to Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya, he fell unconscious in the Jagannath temple in front of Lord Jagannath, and because he was in ecstasy, what happened? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there. And when Lord Chaitanya fell, the Pandas, that is the pujaris there, whatever, they took their sticks and ready to beat Lord Chaitanya. So don't worry, this is happening from time immemorial when the Pandas come. But I heard this time, actually, when I went to Jagannath Puri, somebody told me that those sticks actually, they have bamboo sticks. It doesn't really hurt the people. This is what I was told. It doesn't really hurt them. Like, at least not so much. Maybe a little bit. And anyway, that's what I was told. But it's like a mercy thing. I mean, I kind of just remembering how the Panda, when we were going to see Lord Jagannath, you know, he was standing there in the corner with his two sticks, you know, and keep on going to see, you know, don't stop. But anyway, so at that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he saw that the Pandas were coming to beat him up, right away Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya stopped. So he felt, what do you think he felt? He felt pity. He felt pity on Lord Chaitanya. When he saw Lord Chaitanya, he was thinking, oh, and then when he saw him, he was so beautiful and so effulgent. He felt so much pity on Lord Chaitanya that he actually told the servants to take Lord Chaitanya, who was unconscious at that time, to his own house. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he is like the scholar of whole India. This scholar, he was known to be such an amazing scholar. All the sannyasis would come, and even sannyasis, he's a householder. He's an elder householder. But even the sannyasis would come and hear him. We have like that in our movement, you know, householders, that sannyasis would like to, we were just hearing about Vaisheshi Kapoor. We have somebody like Radhika Raman. I mean, we have great householders that even sannyasis like to hear. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a really well-known sannyasi. And so, and in Jagannath Puri, he was considered one of, you know, he was the priest or of the king, or I don't know what his position was. But anyway, so he brought this unknown sannyasi into his house. Who brings somebody unknown to their house? But he had felt so much pity on Lord Chaitanya that he brought him. But also pity and affection. He had all those feelings for him. And then after, when he brought them, the people who were devotees who were traveling with Lord Chaitanya came and there, and then Lord Chaitanya's, you know, there was interaction and all that. And so, and Lord Chaitanya was taking care of Lord, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was taking care of Lord Chaitanya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's brother-in-law was Gopinath Acharya. So Gopinath Acharya, who was living in Puri, but he was earlier in Navadvip, he knew Lord Chaitanya, and he knew that he was Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in his discussion with his brother-in-law, Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinath Acharya was, there was some conversation, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, he asked Gopinath Acharya about who Lord Chaitanya is, what his background is, etc., like that. And in many ways, he kind of told, before I say that, when he told him who Lord Chaitanya was, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, oh, he's like from the second class kind of parampara sannyasi. So, you know, I could make him, you know, first class sannyasi. Plus, I can kind of by reinitiate him and give him the sannyas cloths again and make him first class. And again, this is out of pity for this beautiful sannyasi who's so, you know, effulgent and everything, and he's thinking, oh, this person is such an amazing person, but he needs to be on a higher platform. And so Gopinath Acharya was very disturbed by that. And this is his brother-in-law, so remember that relationship. So he said, do you not realize who he is? He's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, what makes you think? What proof do you have? What proof do you have that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He said, well, I have the proof because I understand the absolute truth. He said, this Supreme Personality of Godhead is staying in your own house, and you are seeing all the symptoms, but you do not accept that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's because you haven't gotten his mercy. He says, you haven't gotten his mercy. You're just turned away from Bahirmukha. You're turned away from God. And that's why you cannot see that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya still did not accept that. He said, he's a young sannyasi. He needs to, he's very young and he's handsome. So we have to protect his sannyas order. And so I think he should learn here Vedanta philosophy, and that will keep him in the path of monism. So he needs to really hear that. And so I want to read something, how, just to show you how Gopinath Acharya was feeling towards what he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya the extent of pity he was feeling. At this stage, you can see how Gopinath Acharya was feeling pity towards his brother-in-law, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said, the fact that he said, if one receives but a tiny bit of the Lord's favor by dint of devotional service, he can understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you can see, he said, you haven't. He said, you are a great scholar and a teacher of many disciples, yet you are bereft of even a pinch of Lord's mercy. You cannot understand him, even though he is present in your home. Those are sharp words. But do remember, he is his brother-in-law, and we hear from Krishnadas Kaviraj that they used to go back and forth like this, relationships with brother-in-law, sometimes he's angry with him, sometimes laughing, sometimes in a joking way, or whatever, in different ways, they had that kind of relationship. And so then he makes some sarcastic remark, Gopinath Acharya, it is not your fault. It is not your fault. It is the verdict of the scriptures. You cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by your scholarship. Now this is really putting him down, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the kind of scholar he is, he's the greatest of scholar, and he's saying, basically your scholarship is useless. This is what he's saying. Your scholarship is useless. And then he says, Gopinath Acharya expresses his feelings and his intelligence in different ways, trying to tell. Gopinath said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, anyway, this is, don't get upset. You can see Gopinath was getting fired up. So he was saying, that's all right. Don't take it too seriously. Anyway, go and tell Lord Chaitanya to come and take prasadam, and and we'll have a discussion. And so Gopinath Acharya and Mukunda Datta was together. They went to Lord Chaitanya, telling them all this whole discussion, and they were really upset. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, please don't say anything bad about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's the one who gave me shelter. And so he's been very affectionate towards me. So please, no need to say that. So Lord Chaitanya goes, and we know the history, that how Lord Chaitanya heard Vedanta philosophy from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke, but Lord Chaitanya kept quiet for 7 days. He didn't say anything. And then finally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, are you understanding what I'm saying? Anything? You haven't asked any questions? You haven't said anything good or bad? Are you understanding what I'm saying? And he said, not really. And he said, well, then why aren't you saying anything? Well, the fact is, he said, I understand Vedanta, but I don't understand your explanation. And can you imagine what that did to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? That Lord Chaitanya is telling him that your explanation is no good. I understand it, but you're not explaining it correctly. And so they have a whole discussion. And again, I don't want to go into too much detail, but basically they have a whole discussion where Lord Chaitanya explains to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he defeats Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya through intelligence, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is an intellectual person. And so Lord Chaitanya himself defeats him through his intellect. But what really surprised Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is that when Lord Chaitanya told him that actually this is the arrangement of the Lord. The arrangement of the Lord was for to have Shankaracharya speak things in such a way as to bewilder people, because he wanted people to start again believing in the Vedas. Anyway, so we know that how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after being defeated by Lord Chaitanya and after getting mercy, he started to dance and accepted Lord Chaitanya as Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you can imagine the fun that Gopinath Acharya was having, and Krishnadas Kaviraj describes that, you know, they were laughing. All the devotees were laughing, seeing this old man who ate dried oil cakes, I think that was mentioned by Gopinath Acharya or something. But this old man, this dry, old, philosophical, intellectual man, after getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he was saying, Haribol, Haribol, and he was dancing and everybody was laughing. So this is what happens when a devotee, which is Gopinath Acharya, pitches on an impersonalist. Now, so a devotee is, we heard about a devotee pitting on a fruity worker, a sense gratifier, and we heard with the example of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that what happens to a devotee when he is pitting on an impersonalist. But is there something more? Devotees pitting on devotees. Raghunath Das Goswami, we know that when he was young, I think he was around 19, when he came to see Lord Chaitanya, when he moved to Jagannath Puri to be with Lord Chaitanya, he ran away from home. That was in 1517, I understand. And in the same year, apparently, Sanatana Goswami had come to see Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. And so Sanatana Goswami would stay with Haridas Thakur, and Raghunath Das Goswami would stay, we know, we're staying with Surab Damodar and with Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya would go and visit Haridas Thakur and bring him prasadam every day. And so when Sanatana Goswami was there, so he would go and visit Sanatana Goswami too. And, you know, naturally, Surab Damodar and Raghunath Das Goswami and other devotees would be going with Lord Chaitanya every day. That was their usual daily schedule. And so there was a relationship with Raghunath Das Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And then Sanatana Goswami, we know, spent a lot of time, most of the time, in Vrindavan. And so when Lord Chaitanya left this planet, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Vrindavan, and there he was spent time with Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami got shelter of both those Goswamis, and in their shelter he stayed there. Now Raghunath Das Goswami, he has written these prayers called Vilapa Kushumanjali, where he is calling out his vilap. Vilap means like, usually the word vilap, at least in my understanding of the Hindi word, vilap is when somebody passes away, you're vilaping, I mean, not vilaping, but you're crying out. It's the crying out where when somebody passes away like that. So Vilap Kushumanjali, Raghunath Das Goswami writes the Vilap Kushumanjali in separation of his beloved Srimati Radharani. And in that prayers that he writes, the first few prayers are called Mangalacharan, and he writes that in his Mangalacharan, he expresses, offers his respects to different personalities. So first he does to Rupa Goswami, and then he offers respects to he says a rites of prayer to Srimati Radharani and to his Diksha Guru, Yadunandan Acharya, that was their family guru. And he also writes to Sanatan Goswami. So I wanted to read that prayer that he has written to Sanatan Goswami. Okay. Vairagya yug bhakti rasa prayatne apaya yanmam anibhisum andham kripam budhiya paradukha dukhi sanatanastan prabhum archayami ashayami. I was unwilling. Now remember, Raghunath Das Goswami is the most renounced person that I can think of. But he's writing here, I was unwilling to drink the nectar of devotional service possessed of renunciation. But I was unwilling to drink the nectar of devotional service laced with the renunciation, but being an ocean of mercy and so kind to the fallen, Sanatan Goswami took pity upon me and made me drink. May I live forever in the shade of his lotus feet. Here Raghunath Das Goswami is offering obeisances to Sanatan Goswami, who took pity on him. We find, and if you really think about Sanatan Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, in one sense, Sanatan Goswami is his superior. He is older in many ways. And yet, we can say they're peers. Just like Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Rupa Goswami considers Sanatan Goswami his guru. And they're brothers. And yet, in some sense, they are peers. So we're seeing here Raghunath Das Goswami is appreciating the fact that Sanatan Goswami took pity on him. These are Nitya Siddhas, and we see how they're relating to each other. We find something similar in what Srila Prabhupada spoke in 1968, when his sannyas guru left his body. And Srila Prabhupada composed a beautiful verse for his godbrother. He is his godbrother, although he's sannyas guru, so in one sense elder, but yet his peer. And Srila Prabhupada composed a beautiful poem for him. He wrote a prayer. He wrote this prayer, and he actually had all the devotees sign this prayer and condolences or whatever. He sent this and mailed a letter, apparently, back to the Gaudiya Math for his Bhakti Keshava Maharaj for his disappearance day. So I'm going to say the prayer that he wrote for Keshava Maharaj, Bhakti Pragya Keshava Goswami. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Apaya Yanmam Anabhipsum Andham Shri Keshava Bhakti Prajnana Nama Kripambudeyastam Aham Prapadye. He writes, Srila Prabhupada writes, I was completely blind, unwilling to drink the medicine of Krishna consciousness, which is endowed with knowledge of transcendental detachment from the material world. But my God brother, Shri Bhakti Prajnana Keshava Maharaj, forcefully made me drink this medicine. He showered this favor upon me because he is an ocean of mercy. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So we see that how, it's interesting when I was reading this, this from Shiva Maharaj's Vilap Kushumanjali, his book that he is working on, I saw that this verse that Srila Prabhupada composed is actually similar to the verse that I just read by Raghunath Das Goswami and the verse that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya composed to glorify Lord Chaitanya. Actually, these four lines, two lines are exactly like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's, and one line is exactly like Raghunath Das Goswami, and the middle line where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is mentioning Lord Chaitanya as the name, Srila Prabhupada mentions Shri Keshava Bhakti Prajnana as the name. So I thought that was very, very sweet that how Srila Prabhupada composed a verse that brought all Raghunath Das Goswami and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's in together with his. So, in conclusion, I would like to say that yes, we as devotees, we are to be pitied. We want to be pitied. Sometimes people think that being pitied is not good, but fact is, our situation is very pitiable. I can actually at least say for myself, but maybe others would also agree, those who are in the same situation as myself. Yesterday, Pran Govinda Prabhu was saying, you know, it has to go from the ear to the head to the heart. And he brings up that point many times about it can't just go from the ear to the head. What we hear has to go into the heart. It has to go into the heart. But what is the process? How do we do it? How do we go from the ear, from the ear to the head, to the heart? That's where it gets stuck in the head. It somehow that doesn't come to the heart. But it can come to the heart. I mean, this is our situation. That's why we are pitiable. I mean, I've been following what I've been told, and I'm pretty good with following things if I have to. Yeah, I follow the four rags, follow the chanting rounds, you know, attend the park, or whatever we're supposed to follow. Read, hear, chant, everything. But how come it doesn't go to the heart? That's the question, how to do that. And that's why we're pitiable. We're in a very pitiable situation that we can hear and chant. I mean, there may be varieties of reasons that some of may be pitied, some of maybe because we can't chant our rounds, or some maybe we can't follow the regulative principles. And some we're doing it all, and yet it does not go to the heart. So this is the solution, I think, at least one of the solutions, is to get somebody to feel pity for us. We have to have somebody to feel pity for us. If you look at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's situation, he didn't even think that he needed to be pitied. Yeah? He wasn't even asking somebody to pity for him. But his family member, Gopinathacharya, felt pity on him. How does it work when we feel pity? Now, some in the modern way, to feel pity towards somebody sometimes can be seen as negative, or wanting somebody to pity on us, like self-pity or something. No, we're talking about kripam buddhir, or sarva dukkha dukhi, to feel compassionate. So we're asking for that, somebody who can feel pity for us, understanding our situation. And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, although he didn't ask, Gopinath felt pity towards him. We're fortunate that at least we know, or at least we should know, that our situation is very pitiable. And therefore, we need to ask others to feel pity on us, to ask, to please do something. And what I was thinking, what I was saying that I had forgotten is that what happens when you are feeling pity towards somebody? The story of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya reveals what happens. Gopinathacharya felt pity towards Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then what happened? Lord Chaitanya took over. Lord Chaitanya came in and did it all. Because certainly from Gopinathacharya's conversation with his brother-in-law, something happened. Well, externally nothing happened, so to speak. Externally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not convinced. But because of Gopinathacharya's pity towards his brother-in-law, Lord Chaitanya came and took care and delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. We know from Lord Chaitanya's pastime so many times that Lord Chaitanya tells his devotees that their family members are taken care of. Do not worry. Whoever you have affection for, I have affection for them. I'll take care of them. We know even the story of Amogha. Amogha was offensive. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law. He was offensive. But because of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's affection for him, he did have affection for him, although he was ready to curse Amogha. But Lord Chaitanya showed mercy to him. And so this is how it works if we feel pity towards somebody. So taking advantage of my seat here, I ask all the Vaishnavas sitting in front of me and hearing me online to please feel pity on this soul who's been trying to practice Krishna consciousness, but somehow that doesn't go into the heart. So I'm hoping that all of you will pray for me and for others. Why just for me, but pray for others to really pray for others, for everybody, that this life that we're living, that we can actually imbibe and actually bring it into our heart. In that way, we can actually please Srila Prabhupada what his desire is. So these are some thoughts about pitiable, who should we pity, who and others to pity us. So you have any questions or comments or reflections on this subject matter? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for this talk.
Thank you.
So I think you made a connection with pity and compassion, and that brought to mind Arjuna on the battlefield, and him, it was my understanding or recollection, so I might not be having even that right. But his compassion was chastised because it wasn't with like full understanding. It was like respectable in some way, and at the same time, it wasn't with like full realized knowledge, and so it wasn't like true compassion, as Krishna was like instructing. And so my question is like, is it that like the pity that we might be most familiar with in the like general life, mundane activities, material world, is just like, oh, I feel really sorry for you. Like, I'm sorry that you're going through that. I'm sorry that you feel that way. Is it that that's not like the true spiritual, like that's not real pity? Like, real pity is, and like, I guess if that's true, that is real pity. Like, real pity is compassion. Is there a difference between real pity and real compassion, or are they kind of like the same thing?
On the material platform, just speaking on the material platform, real pity means you actually do something about it, not just feel. So if you're feeling pity towards somebody, if you see a beggar and you're feeling pity, it means you do some action. So that's what I would say importance, the differences. Otherwise, they're just words, hollow words, empty words, yeah. Yes,
thank you.
You're welcome. Do you feel comfortable? I didn't see any hand. Oh, okay.
How do you go?
I
was thinking, in terms of the devotees, you know, we maybe need some pity in some ways, but I was thinking more about the people who are breaking religious principles, like heavy meat eating, sex mongers, gamblers, you know, those that involve in intoxicants and so on. Those people really need heavy pity. See, we, you know, we're here, we're on the platform, we're doing, I'll say, fairly all right, you know what I mean?
I think, Tivakam Prabhu, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but maybe you need to be pitted a little bit more.
We might need some pity also, but I'll say, you know, we think we got to focus on, you know, who needs real pity, you know.
Thank you, Tivakam Prabhu. I appreciate what your point is, but I think you might not have heard my other part of the class about Raghunath Das Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So we pity everybody. So no, we should not take ourselves out of that pity zone. Yes, Vigvati Prabhu.
My own point, but I have to respond to that, because Gopinath Acharya was pitying Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya because the Lord's right here in your own home and you don't get it.
Yeah.
So that's our right here every day. And still,
exactly.
What I thought of, just at the very end, when we asked for comments or questions, I suddenly remembered, it must have been 1970, George Harrison's double album, All Things Must Pass, had just come out, and a friend gave it to me. I don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. But I took the album home. I wasn't living with my father and stepmother anymore, but I went to visit, and I brought the album with me. And I remember sitting with my father and reading the words from one of the songs called Isn't It a Pity? And the lyrics went, isn't it a pity? Isn't it a shame? But not too many people can see we're all the same. And my father said, but we're not all the same. And of course, we're not. There's so many varieties. But we're also each a spirit soul covered by so many layers. And then I was, as I was waiting for the microphone, I was thinking that George Harrison, who had gotten Srila Prabhupada's association, Prabhupada told him, please try to put these, Krishna's name and these ideas you're getting from me into your music. Mm. And because of his pity on the people that had not yet heard Krishna's name, mm. he made all these songs. And I myself, it was a couple years after that before I really took it up, but even that first taste, one of the other songs was, by chanting the names of the Lord and you'll be free. Mm. So I very much feel the benefit of someone pitying me. And I was completely involved in all those sinful activities, so doesn't mean somebody cannot rise up. Mm. And yes, we still need to be pitied up.
Yes.
But we're also recipients already of so much.
Ekadashi. Hare Krishna, thank you for your nice talk. The word pity, in general, has like, I think, a sort of negative connotation. I think the way it's used in the verse and the way you used it is in line with how it's used in the verse. But it seems like usually pity, if I pity someone, I think I'm better than them, like I'm looking down on them. And I just wonder, I guess as a devotee, aspiring to be humble, so how to, because you see that sometimes maybe a devotee is doing something and they need some assistance, but at the same time, I'm talking about, devotees pitying mm-hmm. the devotee. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, how do I know that it's not just my false ego kind of thing?
Well, okay, well, one thing, I had looked into the dictionary definition of pity, and it was very much in the same way that is being used here. So I was, because I was thinking, wow, that's interesting, because I was thinking in the same terms as you are saying. So I guess that the usage of the word nowadays, pity, sometimes is in a negative way. But the dictionary definition is feeling compassion towards, it was the usual way. So your question is that if we are feeling pity towards another devotee, how do we know that it's not our ego kind of thinking that I'm better than them? It's a self-reflective question. I don't know if there is any formula. Maybe somebody else can tell me if there's some formula to figure out whether am I being feeling, is it my pride or something that making me feel that I can pity this person because he needs my help or he needs some help, and I'm thinking it's more like a self-reflection. But if somebody has some other point that they would like to make, you have something to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
The Shastra tells us by dint of one's own experiences in life, he can understand what another is going through mm-hmm. and act accordingly. Mm.
Very nice. Very well put. Thank you very much, Mataji. Yes. Sri Muni Prabhu.
Yeah, I mean, in a slang sense, often we use pity like a wife, pity you. So in popular usage, sometimes it's at least condescending.
Yeah.
Like, you're pitiful. Yeah. But it means other things too, like empathy and compassion. And sometimes we say, like, to get the mercy of the devotee, to get the attention, to get the concern and the mm-hmm. blessing. So, mm-hmm. I think that's basically the context we need.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. You had something else to add you wanted?
I think it's just a brief comment.
Okay, yeah, you can.
And that can be the last comment.
Yeah, I was appreciating I don't know her name, but that comment, because prior to her speaking, I was just thinking about your response with respect to desiring others' pity, and my question within myself was, how can I see myself as pitiable?
Mm-hmm.
And then after hearing her comment, I was considering how, like, I might be able to see what someone else might be experiencing based on where I've been in life,
mm-hmm.
and I might experience pity for them and wanting to help them. And something that I'm considering, and I'd like to be checked on this, is that, like, what might be pitiable for me is thinking that I am in a higher position,
mm-hmm.
like being under the illusion mm-hmm. that I have, like, made, that I've transcended
mm-hmm.
where they, what I'm perceiving,
mm-hmm.
where they're at.
Well, one thing, just to finish now, one thing that we could, that when we are in the situation like that, we can, rather than making, putting ourselves in the center, so to speak, that pity, is to pray that, dear Lord Chaitanya, dear Lord Krishna, this is a situation, so please shower your blessings on this person. So then it has nothing to do with your ability, because the reality is we don't have any ability. Anyway, Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.